hold up. Stop the telecommunication, Twain. Are you telling me you still ain't had enough of this fake nonsense? Well, it's your memory bank. You know what they say. Garbage in, garbage out. Just make sure I ain't anywhere near when the last part happens.
Hey, hello, howdy, folks. Your buddy Red Mullet here. Glad to be back with you. After all, you just never know in this line of work. One day, you could be in a hot pursuit, high-speed four-wheeler chase. The next, you could be pushing up daisies in a lonely pasture somewhere. Life is fleeting, no matter how invulnerable you might feel. But don't let's start the show on a low note. The sun's shining, birds are singing, and it's time for another do-gooder to introduce themselves to the ignorant world. Before we do, I did want to give y'all an update on the story I shared last time at the top of the podcast. If you'll remember, I was having trouble sleeping, so I convinced CB there to take me to a hypnotherapist in the next town over. She did her thing and seemed to cure my ills, but lately, I'm beginning to question the nature of my treatment. Some suspicious activity's been taking place, and all the clues seem to be leading us in circles. What's more, I keep ending up with scrapes and bruises, and I don't know where I got them. Now, that ain't unusual. I often lose track of my injuries in the heat of the fight, but things have been kind of slow around here lately. We ain't had a violent altercation in a fortnight, which is actually 2 weeks and not 4 nights like I originally thought. I asked Cowboy if anything unusual happened at the hypnotist, but he said he didn't notice nothing other than the old-looking medallion and some words she mumbled that sounded like Latin. We're going to look into this some more and see if we can't track her down again. We'll let y'all know if we find out anything. This week's guest was requested by a fan early on in our podcasting launch. Took a while to pin him down, but we finally caught up to him. Right down the street here in Louisville, as a matter of fact. He goes by many names and is well known in certain circles, but here at the HQ we know him as Cockadoodle Choo Choo. How you doing today, Chew?
Oh, never been better. Thanks for asking.
We've had a few interesting characters on the show so far, but none quite so unique as you. I gotta say, we're flattered that you would take the time to talk to us.
Happy to do it. My work allows me a certain level of freedom to travel at my leisure.
I was gonna say, is that a company helicopter you got parked out there?
Sure is. One of the perks of the job.
That's terrific. Maybe you should tell the listeners what it is you do, for those who ain't already familiar.
Of course. I'm the CEO of a multinational corporation that encompasses a variety of industries across the globe. Of course, now we can't say that we are limited to this world, as we have a handful of satellites orbiting the planet as we speak.
Wow, big business. You must be one of the richest cats on the planet.
Oh, please don't use that term. I have a severe aversion to cats.
Oh, sorry. But you're definitely one of the high rollers at the top of the game, right?
I suppose so, but I prefer to think of myself as an ordinary man. I put my pants on one drumstick at a time.
But you ain't wearing any pants.
It's a figure of speech. Really, I'm no different than you, boys.
I beg to differ, but we'll come back to that. Tell us, how'd you make your first million?
Oh, well, that's a long story, reaching back many years. You don't want to hear all that, do you?
Well, sure we do. We got time, don't we, CB?
It's your show.
Of course it is. Go ahead. Regale us with your backstory.
If you insist. I am the only son of a wealthy rare baron. I won't mention his name because of the negative connotations, but needless to say, our family has always been well off. Old money, you know. My father built several casinos with his inheritance, and I inherited that business from him. Still, it wasn't until I stumbled upon the import-export trade that I began to make my own fortunes. However, being the aspiring mogul that I wasn't content with my successes there. I dabbled in the stock market, invested in some technology startups, and even bred racing horses. Alas, when one rises to the pinnacle, I was quickly approaching They become the object of much disdain. I can't say I didn't deserve it. The number of people I trampled underfoot on my way to the top is something I am deeply ashamed of. It was during this time that I partnered with a prominent pharmaceutical company to develop a treatment and hopefully a cure for the bird flu. I had no interest in this project, but the epidemic seemed to be spreading and there was potential for massive enterprise. The lead scientist invited me to tour their facility as a publicity stunt, but little did we know what a catastrophe it would be. And an unexplainable accident occurred while I was in the lab. A violent reaction took place involving unstable chemical compounds, a gene splicer, and some infected poultry. When I woke, I was surrounded by doctors. They did everything in their power to stabilize my condition, but there was only so much they could do. The damage had been done, and my life would never be the same.
And that's when you became a giant chicken.
Well, I like to say that's when my outward appearance changed. It was several years before I came to terms with my transformation and began to accept who I really was.
Chicken.
A rooster, actually, but yes. After many hours of psychiatric and physical therapy and a brief period of underground cockfighting, I resigned myself to the idea that this is what I was always meant to be.
I see. And how did your family take it?
At first, they were horrified, but with the help of some group counseling, they came to accept it, too. The board of directors was another matter, but yet I managed to win them over in the end.
That's great. What would you say has been the biggest adjustment for you since your metamorphosis?
Well, my diet, for sure. It's mostly seeds and insects now, though. I do sometimes indulge in an ear of corn or a nice arugula salad with raspberry vinaigrette.
Oh, hey, I think we got some sunflower seeds over here. You want some?
I don't mind if I do. Thank you.
No, not the ones on the floor. Oh, never mind. Here's some more. Well, folks might be wondering why we invited you on. This is a superhero interview deal, after all, but you've gone on the record publicly saying that you moonlight as a vigilante. Ain't that true?
Yes, that is the case. You see, with great plumage comes great responsibility. Following the accident, I began to take a hard look at my circumstances, and I came to the conclusion that the talents and resources I possess should not be squandered on self-indulgent living. They should be shared with the world for the greater good.
How'd you go about doing that?
At first, I gave things away to the poor, which I still do from time to time, but I soon realized it wasn't getting to the root of the problems I was seeing around me. Poor people aren't the cause of poverty, just like criminals aren't the cause of crime.
I don't follow.
When you catch a thief or you feed a hungry person, you're treating the symptom. You're not curing the illness.
Okay.
So when this thief is back on the street and hungry person wakes up the next day with nothing to eat, the epidemic still remains. You've done nothing but delay the inevitable condition.
So what is the cure?
That is an excellent question. Allow me to ask you a question.
Shoot.
What separates you from them? Where is the fine line between hero and villain?
I suppose it's a sense of justice.
Yes, but whose justice? To what set of rules are you adhering?
Common decency, I guess. The golden rule? I don't know. The law.
When it's convenient for you. Not all reasoning is common. Justice, is in the eye of the beholder.
So what are you getting at?
What I'm getting at is that there needs to be some sort of standard. A basis for morality that applies to everyone. Otherwise, there's anarchy. Chaos.
And who decides that?
Well, that's the $100 million question of the ages, isn't it? Who indeed? We obviously can't leave these sorts of decisions to just anyone, can we?
No.
And we can't leave people to their own devices, because they've proven that they self-destruct.
Yeah.
So who do we trust? What qualities do we look for in someone we intend to burden with such a heavy responsibility?
Well, I reckon they'd have to be above reproach, unscathed, unblemished.
And where would we find such a human?
We wouldn't be able to find them. They'd have to be,
more than human?
Well, yeah.
Would you go so far as to say, superhuman?
I suppose. Where are you going with this?
Directly here. It is on this platform that I have decided to announce my candidacy for the next president of these United States.
You serious? You? A chicken man?
A rooster, sir, if you don't mind. And yes, why not? Who better to take up the reins of the most powerful nation on planet Earth than yours truly?
I think we've successfully managed to severely derail this interview. We're going to take a short commercial break and try to get things back on track. Hold tight.
The Red Mullet Cast is brought to you today by Simple Delights. Need a fantastic dessert for your next party or event? Want something that looks spectacular and tastes even better? Let Simple Delights tantalize your taste buds with their specialty treats. Find them on Facebook at Simple Delights by Amanda.
Well, we're back, getting some interesting revelations from Cockadoodle Choo Choo. Let's back up a little bit here, Choo. After you became a chicken, rooster, whatever, you said you noticed all these problems around. What about being a feathered fowl changed your perspective?
Well, I've seen out two sides of my head. For one thing, I no longer possessed a singular focal point. And I can now focus on two different objects or tasks independently. It also gives me a 300-degree field of vision as opposed to your mere 180 degrees. I also find that I am more sensitive to light, color, and motion.
That's not really what I meant.
I know what you meant. I was trying to make a point. With these enhanced senses, along with my razor-sharp talons and the ability to maintain short periods of flight, I realized that I was a prime candidate for superheroism. The only thing I could find, though, for a costume was a baggy pair of denim coveralls and a hat my father had kept as a memento to our railroad heritage.
Hence the name Cockadoodle Choo Choo.
It wasn't my first choice. I intended to call myself the Cock of Doom. But when it came time to reveal my new identity to the news media and the world, it emerged as a stuttering crow. I still struggle with a bit of a speech impediment.
It's all right. I think you pull it off very well.
Thank you.
So what was your first experience as a costume crusader?
It was in response to a personal attack. Some of the board members wanted my head on a platter.
Just your head?
Figure of speech.
Of course. Sorry.
So they sent some hitmen to assassinate me. They broke into my house, knocked me off my roost, and attempted to finish the job. Little did they know of my violent history in the underground circuit. I was a flurry of feathers and claws and beak. And when they finally realized their mistake, they fled the scene, each one bloody and blinded in one eye.
Jeez, then what'd you do?
The next night is when I assembled my costume and set out to find the ones who'd put the hit out on me. It wasn't difficult. Two of the would-be assassins left their phones behind, so I figured out who it was pretty quickly.
And then?
I was on my way to their homes to exact my revenge, but along the way I got distracted by a mugger who had just stolen an old lady's purse. He was easily dispatched of, and the lady thanked me profusely. That's when I realized I mustn't be an agent of punishment, but one of protection.
That's admirable.
Besides, I knew there was other ways I could make the wicked suffer for their misdeeds, other than picking their eyes out.
Oh? Such as?
Exposing their career misconduct and re-seizing their shares. thereby annihilating their reputations and leaving them in abject poverty.
Ruthless.
My bones may be hollow, but I am no pushover.
Sorry about that. CB, you take care of that phone?
I got it.
Really sorry. That doesn't usually happen.
Oh, it's no problem.
CB!
It's a safe number.
Well, if they call back, just answer it and see what they want.
Hello? Yes? Really? I don't know if I should interrupt.
What are we talking about?
Well, I'd like to get back to my ballot for...
Mullet. Someone here wants to talk to Mr. Choo-Choo.
Oh, right now?
Yeah, he wants it on the air. He says he's a big fan.
How'd they know he was going to be here?
Search me. Should I put him on?
What do you say, Choo?
I say put him on!
Okay. He says his name is Seymour Butts.
Wait, hold up!
Yes, Mr. Choo. I am a huge admirer of yours.
Well, thank you, Mr. Butts. That's always nice to hear.
I just had a quick question for you.
Yes, anything.
Is your refrigerator running?
I think so. At least I hope it is. I got my leftovers in there from Cracker Barrel.
Burp. Then you'd better go catch it. The Instigator strikes again.
The who?
The Instigator. He's a low-level crook. He likes to harass people for fun. He's pretty harmless.
Harmless? Speak for yourself, you witless hick. I've toppled kingdoms with my personal brand of mayhem.
Yeah, well, prank phone calls are pretty low, even for you.
Oh, you have no idea the implications of my plans. This was merely a red herring.
For what? And what are you planning to do with that information? Toilet paper our trees?
Oh, it's much more diabolical than that. I plan to distribute your address to every supervillain in the world!
Oh, that is pretty diabolical. CB, anything we can do about that?
Well, a trace goes both ways. I currently have the Instigator's coordinates on satellite, and I'm sending that to the local police.
You what? Wait a minute. This is my master plan.
Well, looks like you got outmastered. What's the ETA on those popo, CB?
T-minus 3 minutes.
Wow, that's not very long. You got an escape plan, Gator?
I always have an escape plan, Mullet. And next time, you won't be so lucky.
Well, I hope your escape plan don't include that Volkswagen van outside your place, because it looks like you're getting towed.
What? No!
Are you parked in front of a fire hydrant? That's a big no-no.
I'm hanging up.
Hey, you called us, IG.
Don't do that with my game. It's one word.
Oops. Here come the fuzz. Better run.
This isn't over, you insufferable redneck.
Catch you later, Instigator. Well, that was fun. Sorry for the interruption, though. We'll be sure to block his number.
I understand. It's all part of the gig, I suppose. But that poor soul there perfectly illustrates the point I was trying to make earlier.
Which was?
That what this country is lacking is stalwart leadership to raise the standards of morality by example.
And you think that is you?
I know it is, R.M. I know it is.
And have you decided on a potential running mate?
Well, I narrowed it down to either Kevin Spacey or that guy from the cell phone commercials.
You mean the Can You Hear Me Now guy?
Yes, that's the one.
You know he switched camps, right?
Oh, did he? No matter. The point is, this country needs to be united again. In fact, I think one of my first acts of office will be to rename us the Re-United States of America.
Kind of counting your chick... never mind. Chew, you sure that politics is the right way to go? You know government ain't never changed anyone's mind about nothing. If you're serious about this philosophy of yours, you gotta know that laws only help to placate victims. Everyone else finds a way to get around them or completely ignore them. Laws ain't what makes people civil. People makes people civil.
Exactly, I am. I'm so glad we agree. This is why my second act of office will be to make everyone a superhero.
Him again?
That's right. If everyone has the legal responsibility of watching out for their fellow man, then crime will be eradicated. It has to be.
But what if someone doesn't want to be a superhero? What if they reject your policy?
Who wouldn't want to be a superhero?
Lots of folks. Some of them just want to watch the world burn.
Well, that's because they take no ownership in it. If everyone felt the same obligation for preserving peace and prosperity, society will flourish.
Two, there are entire militant governments that are built on fear and violence. You can't make people care about each other. Not if they have something to gain from subjugation.
So you're saying I think it's too small, eh? That I should look toward world domination?
No, now you're sounding like a supervillain.
Well, what then? If I can't use my significant wealth and influence to change the course of history, what am I supposed to do?
Now you're asking me? What do I know? I'm just a crazy redneck that beats the tar out of drug dealers and renegade mutant critters.
Don't shortchange yourself, boy. Lesser minds have held answers to some of life's most important enigmas.
Hey, there's some big puzzles out there that need to be cracked. And maybe it's guys like us that get to do the cracking. But for right now, we need to try to set things right in our own backyard. So think smaller. Think smarter. And don't let the weight of the world keep you up at night.
Wise words, mullet. Maybe I could work that into my campaign slogan.
Oh, brother. That's all the time we got for today. Special thanks to Cockadoodle Choo Choo for being on the show. Hope y'all join us next time when we interview more unsung heroes and unrepentant villains on the Red Mullet Podcast.
This has been a Monumental Flounder production, written and produced by Andrew Chandler. Red Mullet and Cowboy created by J.E. Choop. For more Red Mullet content, including a webcomic and video clips, go to andrewchandler.net.